The difference between an entrepreneur and somebody who's decided to follow a career is that with entrepreneurs, we tend to be a little eccentric and we tend to be a lot of creative. So we are looking for solutions to a lot of the problems that we see around us, or sometimes the solutions just come at us without us putting too much effort in it, and we're willing to risk it all to try to give solutions to problems. I have the publishing company that's 12 years old, and I have the Montessori Primary School that's 4 years old. And as I mentioned, I've overseen both those businesses.
And they stay there, and they say yeah, and they stay there. Cause all I do is win, win, win. And if you're going in, put your hands in.
You're listening to 1000 African Voices on Channel Africa, an international public service station of the South African Broadcasting Corporation. I am your host, Aburengwi C, coming to you from my Johannesburg studios. We are on Pulse 10 satellite in sub-Saharan Africa. We are also on DSTV Radio Bouquet, channel 802 in Southern Africa. You can also find the episodes on www.1000africanvoices.com. This is a program that profiles Africans of diverse African cultures who have traveled and lived across the African continent and the world. Welcome to 1000 African Voices. The show begins right now.
1000 African Voices.
Hello, African. Welcome to yet another episode of 1000 African Voices. And today I'm really excited to introduce to our listeners Tsitsi Mutendi, all the way from Harare in Zimbabwe. Hi, Tsitsi.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Doing really well. How are you?
I'm very well.
How is Zim today?
Zim is still on lockdown, so very quiet and very sunny. It was sunny most of the day today.
What does a lockdown in Zim look like? I know there are different versions in different places, but what does a Harare lockdown look and feel like?
A Harare lockdown looks like, well, most of the supermarkets, essential stores, essential workers will be going to work, and most essential businesses will be open. You can pretty much get a lot of the services and goods that you need, because most businesses have resorted to delivering, online ordering, and I think everything has just moved online. I have a school, so my day looks like I wake up in the morning and the kids get ready for school and they start their lessons with their teachers. I get on to my day with meetings and admin work. But most of the time it's indoors. And I think the only difference with South Africa is that they don't put a ban on alcohol.
Heck, that really goes a long way. All right, maybe we'll come back to the issue of alcohol. I know in countries where that has been put on hold, it has led to, for better or worse, some societal impacts. But maybe it's the... Let's come back to you. If you don't mind just introducing yourself properly to our listeners, who is Tsitsi Mutendi?
So Tsitsi Mutendi is a mom, she's a wife, and she's a business person in that order. My focus is family first, and I am a family business owner. So I own a publishing firm that's 12 years old now, and a Montessori primary school that's 4 years old now. I spent a lot of my time more in the family business advisory space now. So I work a lot with family businesses across the continent, as well as family offices across the continent. my focus is in investing in legacy building for myself, for my family, and for the African continent. I'm very passionate about the opportunities available on the continent, as well as the drivers of the future, which is the next gen and family businesses, as well as the economies that are sometimes very much neglected on the continent.
I've always wondered what makes a family business really different from any other business. Given that that is your space, do you mind just maybe explaining to our listeners what a family business is? I know the name kind of seems to suggest that it should be obvious, but I've learned over the years not to make that assumption. What's a family business?
Right. So that's quite a very interesting question, because with most people, when they hear family business, they're thinking their mom and pop stores, their spazas, and their little businesses. But all those little businesses, those mom and pop stores, are the beginning of a story that can literally change lives and create jobs and create opportunities in all our ecosystems. And even the small ones, as they're starting up, do exactly that. Family businesses are essentially in the industry described as any business that is owned 25% or above by a single family. And we're using that description. That means if you look at most of the corporates that you know, if you look at most of the businesses that you know, the majority of them are family-owned businesses. In larger economies like the UK, the US, and Spain, you find that family businesses make up for more than 60% of the businesses in those economies. And globally, family businesses contribute over 85% of global GDP. Family businesses are the backbone to economies. They're the backbone to global economies. And they are what keeps us going every day. So most of the products and the services you use, you buy from family-owned businesses. You might see them as the big conglomerate sometimes. You might see them as the spaza down the road sometimes. But all of these are all grown by families that have hopes and dreams of creating better futures, as well as providing jobs, as providing goods and services for the communities that they serve.
I'm really glad I asked the question. For once, I didn't know that there was actually a threshold where it's 25 and above. But Tsitsi, you run your own podcast called Yes. Enterprising Families Podcast.
That's correct.
Can you go through that? What are your focus areas?
So I am a third generation family business owner. And so that means my grandparents on both sides of my family, from my mom's side and my dad's side, were family business owners. My parents were family business owners. And I am one of their children who decided to take the entrepreneur route and carry on the family legacy of being a family business owner. But coming into the family business space, especially on the African continent, the journey was a very lonely one, especially when I realized that, okay, hold on a minute, I'm a family business and I have all these issues that I'm facing, and where do I get help? And so you get a lot of organizations that operate on the continent that have continuously told family businesses, you need to professionalize, you need to put more systems and procedures into place. And you know what? The right systems and procedures will make your family business work, which is all very great and which is all very important advice. But systems and procedures help the operational side of a business. And it can be very mechanical. If you put in the right formula in the right way, you can make it work, you get the intended result. But when you are a family-owned business, you have the unique technicality of you have family members, and you have in that family membership circle, you have tensions that rise high. Sometimes you have conflict. Sometimes you have misunderstandings. You have no clear direction of what must be done, where and why. So because we live on a continent where family business has never been addressed as the way that the industry has grown globally and has literally supported a lot of family businesses to become multi-generational, And even in the global outlook of it, there is still a lot of conversations that need to be had with family businesses, for family businesses, and about family businesses. So with the podcast, I wanted to create a space where I speak to different people from family businesses themselves, as well as speaking to people who work with family businesses, and to bring to light the issues that family businesses feel like, oh my goodness, I can't speak about this, or is this really an issue, or does this really just affect us as a family? And realize that most families face a lot of the similar issues, and there is help out there. There are individuals that can help. There are ways that you can be helped. And it's just, the first thing is start having a conversation around it. And then from there, you can start finding solutions to the problems that you feel you may have.
All right. I'm sort of on one of the sites where you publish. There are quite a few topics. There's one on building a wealth knowledge that can help us into the future. There's one on generational transitioning and the intricacies of multi-generational, assume it's business or wealth or partnerships. How often do you publish your episodes? And I suppose as a business person, I'm wondering where you maybe get the times to do that, given all your other competing priorities.
You know, there is a saying that says that you make time for those, you prioritize those things that are important to you. So when you are building a business, you have to be very clear about the fact that you're building. And in that building process, you have to prioritize the things that need your energy and your time and your know-how. I'm in the advisory space. I'm in a space where people pay me to use the skills that I have and the knowledge that I have to be able to help their families and to be able to help their businesses. And that's one of my core businesses.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to 1000 African Voices on Channel Africa, an international public service station of the South African Broadcasting Corporation, broadcasting from an African perspective. We are on PAS 10 satellite in sub-Saharan Africa. We are also on DSTV Radio Bouquet Channel 802 in Southern Africa, as well as www.1000africanvoices.com. You can also stream the show by visiting our podcast page on www.channelafrica.org. On social media, we are Channel Africa One on both Facebook and Twitter. That's Channel Africa with the numeral one. 1000 African Voices is a partnership initiative between Channel Africa and 1000 African Voices Pty Ltd, an online media company. 1000 African Voices is a program that profiles Africans of diverse cultures who have traveled and lived across the African continent and the world. And now, back to our guest.
So it's in my best interest to be able to share some of my knowledge with potential clients, as well as clients that are already established clients, so that they can know more about some of the issues that they face, as well as to be able to have resources that they can turn to if they want a point of reference. Similar to what you've done, you went onto the platform, one of the platforms, and you found this content, and it raised some curiosity in you. And that's exactly what I'm aiming to have people do.
The one thing that fascinates me with business people is that it's really difficult for someone to start their first business, but I've picked up a pattern where those that have started and have ran successful and maybe even failed projects, they seem to always have a way to maybe of finding new ideas or launching new products. And I think you can be described as along those lines as well. When I look at your profile, you've had a magazine, now you're in the advisory business, and. What, in your view, makes maybe an entrepreneur a bit more capable of generating ideas more so than, say, a typical corporate employee?
I think the difference between an entrepreneur and somebody who's decided to follow a career is that with entrepreneurs, we tend to be a little eccentric and we tend to be a lot of creative. So we are looking for solutions to a lot of the problems that we see around us, or sometimes the solutions just come at us without us putting too much effort in it. And we're willing to risk it all to try to give solutions to problems. Whereas in people who choose to have careers are people who find, right, if they walk into a company or an organization that is already running and has got systems and procedures in place, they can enhance those systems and procedures. They can see areas that they can make better, and they can increase revenue. They can increase value in all the spaces that they serve in. And so each of these different skills are only applicable to individuals. So you need to have entrepreneurs to set up the companies and to set up solutions and to be able to be problem solvers. Then you need people who want to work and build careers by adding value to the solutions that have been set up and to be able to enhance them and make them better. So with entrepreneurs, you tend to get a lot of visionaries in there. They can start amazing, incredible projects. But it takes those people who are career driven and who can then panel beat these projects and make them bigger and make them more applicable in the real world situations. So two totally different mind frames, but very complementary to each other and very necessary to make the holistic success.
I'm curious now maybe to focus a bit on sort of the broader economy of Zimbabwe. I think some of the challenges the economy has faced over, say, the last 20 years have been well documented. And so it is quite refreshing in a way to be talking to an entrepreneur who says, I actually choose to operate from Harare and I'm going to build successful family-run businesses from this place. Do you mind that the reason I'm asking this is so that we can maybe debunk some of the myths or beliefs about what it means to run a business from Zimbabwe? How has your experience been, maybe focusing on all the political turmoil over the last two decades and you finding yourself within that space? How have you experienced that?
I think like any other business owner, no matter where you are in the world, whether you're in Harare or you're in New York, politics always impacts your business because some of the policy decisions obviously have got long-term implications on how we run our business. But when you look at it from an entrepreneurial perspective, there is no perfect day in entrepreneur land. You're going to face challenges. So you have to understand what industry it is that you're in, what policies are there that affect you. And as the policies or the laws or whatever are rolled out, you have to be aware, you have to be ready, you have to plan ahead. I think strategic planning is one of the key things when it comes to running your own business. I'll give case in point, 2020. 2020 impacted us all, no matter where you were in the world. When you have a global shutdown, everything shuts down. And you have to go back to the basics of what is it that I actually do as a business? And is it feasible in this time? Am I still going to be able to keep my employees employed? Am I still going to be able to produce my product? And am I going to be able to sell it? And who am I going to sell it to? Is it a critical product or is it one of those luxury products? And I think like in any other company anywhere in the world, when you're faced with situations where it becomes very challenging, you have to show your agility, your ability to adapt. And also you have to show your commitment to your business. So yes, Zimbabwe can be a very tough environment and it can be very trying. However, if you choose to run a business, no matter where you are in the world, you have to be able to put on your big girl britches and go out there and do the best that you can and be very conscious of the environment that you're in, because it is going to hit you from all corners all the time.
Channel Africa. from an African perspective.
I absolutely love that. Essentially, it really doesn't matter where you are. The challenges, I suppose, they do tend to be similar. Maybe some environments are a bit more enabling, particularly from a policy perspective, than others. But fundamentally, as an entrepreneur, I would assume, and I say assume because I'm not in that space, I would assume that, yeah, the challenges are likely similar. Tsitsi, currently, if you don't mind sharing with our listeners, how many different businesses are you currently either running or managing at the moment?
Well, I think I shared that when I was describing a little bit myself. I have the publishing company that's 12 years old, and I have the Montessori Primary School that's 4 years old. And as I mentioned, I've overseen both those businesses. I am not 100% within the day-to-day operations, but I am more of a board member role as the founder of or the co-founder of the organizations. And also an interested party because my family owns the organizations. Most of my work these days is focused on my consultancy, Naka Legacy, which works with family businesses in the area of family governance. So I work with family businesses to ensure that they work on their communication skills and ensure that they have the right tools to be able to make critical decisions as a family unit and be able to work with the family and the business and create resonance between family members and allow that to then help them to better grow their business, better grow their wealth and become generational and legacy building families and enterprises. And my other time is split with my nonprofit organization, which I co-founded with my co-founder, who is in Lagos, Nigeria, Nike Anani. And it's a nonprofit African Family Business Association, which is arguably the biggest on the continent currently. And is in the process of opening 54 chapters with one in every country on the continent. And so I spend my time in the family business and family office world that is where I thrive and I enjoy and I immerse myself. The other two businesses, I'm very much involved, very much hands-on, but more of an overseeing role.
How do you then manage your time? So if I take maybe the life of a corporate employee, on any given day, they have maybe different tasks, but they are in the same department working for one company, but it's still really difficult to manage their time. For someone who's either overseeing or running these businesses, how is your day divided? Like, how do you get to it all? I suppose is what I'm asking.
I think it's being able to manage the allocation of how much time I spend on what, and also where am I needed the most. So, for example, with the school, I have a very capable team that ensures that the school runs perfectly and doesn't need me to be physically at the school or physically online during lessons or doing anything that involves taking away my energy from what I'm doing every day in the family business, family office space. Then also you have the publishing company that also has a very capable team that oversees what's going on there or oversees the day-to-day operations of the company. And so what I do is I have 15 minutes updates. So first thing in the morning, I wake up, meditate, spend some time in that space where I'm just grateful for my day. As I look into what I'm planning to do, I look at my calendar, check my emails. And then from there, I have my 15 minutes update from the administration teams for both the school and for the publishing company. And after I get that 15-minute update, and I always say the three things I want to know on your update: what are you currently doing? What is blocking you? What do you need me to do for you? Within that 15 minutes, I that's basically all that you're going to get every day from me, unless there is an extreme emergency that needs me to step in and assist. On my consultancy, I speak to my team, I look at the projects that are in front of me, and I get to work on that. On the AFF front, African Family Firms, which is the African Family Business Association, I usually streamline everything into one email inbox and everything into one calendar. So my calendar is up to date consistently. An overview of my calendar tells me when my meetings are and when my break times are, how much time I have, and how much time I can allocate to anything. And so you have some days that are more fluid than others, and then some days where I'll be up late because I have different time zones I'm dealing with, or I've got events that are on different time zones. And sometimes I'll be up really early to catch a time zone that's going to bed to make sure that I can record with them, or I can do an event with them, or I can do a study group with them, because I'm also pursuing further education as well. So it just depends on the day, really.
Yeah, as you were talking, I was sort of trying to envision what your calendar looks like. And as I was maybe struggling to find any free time in that, you then just added the feathering your studies part on top of that.
Oh, I'm a mom of three. all under the age of 10.
Wow. Yeah. I suppose it is true what they say. If you want to get anything done, give it to the busiest person in the room.
Yeah.
Why the feather studies, if you don't mind sharing that, what are you studying and why?
So I am looking to further my studies, especially in the space that I'm in, family business management and family business advisory. So there's different certificates and certifications that you need to get in those spaces. And then also just adding on to my academic badges and completing postgraduate education, so that I can just write up the academic papers, thesis, and hopefully add to my voice to the sector that is family business and be able to make it more robust.
I've always wondered how much of an impact education has on entrepreneurs. And what I've picked up, at least on this platform, is that those that are in that space tend to never actually cease or stop learning. So maybe one of the misconceptions that we need to talk about is this idea that once you're an entrepreneur, the focus then just shifts to seeing how much money you can make and how long you can sustain your business. But I think all the evidence seems to show that you really do need to continue to study if you are to advance in your space. I'm assuming, Sissy, that you probably share that sentiment as well.
I think, well, you know what? I used to be an advocate of both, actually. So I was the one person who, like, I am never going back to school. I'd rather make my money and focus on making money. But then I fell in love with a space or an industry, a sector that I'm very passionate about. And I want to contribute to it as much as possible. And I found that a lot of contributed advice comes from the learned colleagues. If you want to learn more about things, also go into what people have researched and found out before you, and then be able to practicalize that. So I bring the best of both worlds with me. I've been an entrepreneur since I was 19, and I know how to do. I'm a doer by nature. You'll find a lot of the projects that I've done have all been about action and getting things done. Whereas in a lot of the educational stuff helps me then to back up all the things that I've practicalized and seen happening in outside of theory in real life. So it's the best of both worlds. When you can bring both to the table, you command the respect of both academia as well as the doers.
No, absolutely. I tend to agree with that. And with all that activity or the business, do you still have any time for yourself? Does CC have me time? And if you do, what does that look like?
So like you said, there's a lot of activity, but not busyness. It's productivity. what can I say? I'm very thoughtful about, am I being busy or am I being productive? Because sometimes you get someone being extremely busy, but then if you ask them, what do they achieve? Absolutely nothing. So at the end of the day, I have an ongoing to-do list where I add things that I need to get done and take off things that have already been done. And I ask myself with every action that I do, what on that list have I contributed to and what, or have I just been busy?
If you've just joined us, you're listening to 1000 African Voices on Channel Africa, an international public service station of the South African Broadcasting Corporation, broadcasting from an African perspective. We are on PAS 10 satellite in sub-Saharan Africa. We are also on DSTV Radio Bouquet, Channel 802 in Southern Africa, as well as www.1000africanvoices.com. You can also stream the show by visiting our podcast page on www.channelafrica.org. On social media, we are Channel Africa 1 on both Facebook and Twitter. That's Channel Africa with the numeral 1. 1000 African Voices is a partnership initiative between Channel Africa and 1000 African Voices Pty Ltd, an online media company. 1000 African Voices is a program that profiles Africans of diverse cultures who have traveled and lived across the African continent and the world. And now, back to our guest.
And if I've been busy, how much did it make me? Or how much did it help me reach any of my goals? If nothing, that means that day is wasted and I was just being busyness. Time for Tsitsi. Wow, Tsitsi makes time for herself like you will not believe. I believe in self-care. I believe in taking care of myself. If I wake up on a day where I feel extremely tired, exhausted mentally or physically, I will cancel my meetings. I will at that point say I can't operate at my optimum. So I will not force my body or my mind, because if I do that, there won't be enough of me for my loved ones or for the businesses that I run. What do I do to take time out? I listen to music. I love to dance and listen to music. I love a nice glass of red wine or white wine, depending. And I love watching periodic movies or series on Netflix. I have watched my favorite all-time movies, which is Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, on repeat. I think my kids are very familiar with it. They even know the lines now. They're like, good Lord, this is 9 hours worth of movies every day. And I read books. I read a lot of fiction books. I love Wilbur Smith, so I'll read him. And for nonfiction, I will read autobiographies of people who inspire me. And when it's all too much, I just do nothing. I just sit there and occupy the space and do nothing, because sometimes doing nothing is doing everything.
I love that. Just sit there and occupy the space. Maybe let's get some recommendations, starting with Netflix, then we'll go to the books. And okay, you've already touched on the movies. What are you watching at the moment on Netflix?
I binge watch Netflix, guys. I binge watch Netflix. And I am, what can I say, typical creative. So I will watch a lot of sci-fi. I will watch a lot of abstract things. So I am a Star Trek fan. I'm a Trekkie. And so I've watched Discovery, I think, like season 1, 2, 3, if it's not on 4, on repeat, and other past Star Treks. I love Star Trek. I'm okay with Star Wars. I told you already, I love anything Tolkien, and the movies I will watch over and over again. I love Greenleaf and Bridgerton. That has been quite interesting. And Suits, Designated Survivor, Grimm. Yes, I've watched quite a bit. Hey, Sherlock. Yeah, I've watched quite a bit of Netflix. But as you can see, if it's not crime investigation, detective work, or complete abstract when it comes to out of this world aliens and everything in between, I love watching those. It stretches your mind a bit. And after the pandemic, we've got 2020, you know, anything and everything is possible.
Now, I was sort of going through your list. Bridgerton, I'm sort of on the fence. I tried an episode and I sort of declared it something that I will avoid, but I see
you're
it's
a guy
trend. Oh yeah, it's trending on top, but I think there may be a gender aspect to that. Strap to Shorty, we're going to talk about maybe books as well as music.
Oh Lord. Okay. Books. I love Wilbur Smith. I told you already I can read him all day. I love Tolkien. What else have I read? I've read some Danielle Steele, but I'm not a fan. I wouldn't really be. I like more realistic, abstract, and interesting. I've read some interesting books, which I can't remember some of the authors, but then they have been more of detective-like novels, and I loved those. When it comes to more inspirational novels, I know a lot of people like reading the inspirational, motivational models and so forth. There used to be a time I really loved that stuff. And then I realized that as much as I love it, if I'm not going to implement it, then it's not going to mean anything. So what would I recommend if you're not going to be reading fiction and you want something that's going to make you get up and go? It's Grant Cardone, The 10X Factor. If you don't read that book, you're lost in life. You need to read that book.
Okay, The 10X Factor.
Yes, Grant Cardone, 10X. You'll wake up in the morning, you'll be 10Xing everything. And he does not pull the stops on that. He makes you accountable by simply saying that if you're not doing anything, then you know what, you're just taking up space and you are letting yourself down. I love Grant Cardone. I think I'm not so sure about all his other content, but that book is like the holy grail. You need to read it because it's going to change the way you see things and the way you act. And it's going to tell you, like, you know, when you said how much time, where do I get the time or what do I do? Well, 10X will tell you that if everyone else is doing things in ones and twos, you need to be doing 100 times of that. Because what are the chances of success if you're doing 100 times?
No, I get it. So it's 100 times.
10X everything. 10 times everything.
Okay, I'm with you. Nice.
Yes. And then I obviously love Ayanna Vincent and T.D. Jakes. And there is this other book called Jesus Calling, which I absolutely love. And the Secret by Rhonda Byrne.
Okay. No, The Secret is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Don't recall much, but I do remember the takeaway that whatever you attract, you can have. Essentially, that our minds tend to be our biggest enemies. Until we learn to control that, then we can sort of channel the energy into whatever
Absolutely.
We want. All right. I think the last question as we start wrapping up is maybe for you to just sign off with, you said you love to dance and to listen to music.
Mm.
What are you dancing to at the moment?
What am I dancing to at the moment? Sorry, I had to go into my library here and see what, okay. I am loving some local songs, but DJ Khaled, All I Do Is Win. I love that song. That's what I'm dancing to. There's Memories by Maroon 5 and Oceans by Hillsong, as well as, I'm just looking at the best ones, the ones I can listen to all day and be okay with. Emping by Kelly Kumalo.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will actually check out some of those. Yeah, All I Do Is Win is, I don't know if you can call it a classic, but it's one of those songs where you wake up in the morning, you look yourself or at yourself in the mirror and you think, man, I got this. And you play that and it becomes your theme song for the day. So I totally understand that.
Funny enough, if I wake up in the morning, the first song I'd probably play would be Oceans by Hillsong. Or I swing between hard party music and extreme mellow music and old school music. It just depends on how I'm feeling in that moment in that day. But I've realized that music has a way of picking you up. And because some lyrics are so catchy, you have to be extremely intentional about what you listen to, because you might start singing it without not knowing it and you start internalizing the words and the vibration of a song. So make sure that it's something that resonates with you and makes you feel like, Oh, yes.
Since Mutendi, I mean, I could talk to you all day. And I mean, as a fellow podcaster, I think you understand what I mean. Thank you for making the time. I actually feel privileged that you were able to give us the 40 minutes that we've been talking. Thank you. Thank you. Hopefully our listeners will take away quite a lot. My takeaway is to think about life from a 10X perspective. So I'll be lining up to purchase the 10X vector. Thank you for that. I don't know if you have any last words before we say goodbye.
Any last words? I always say, you know what, Africa is a vast continent and we are the last frontier when it comes to how we're going to contribute to the world. And an important thing that we need to take away or we need to hold true to as Africans is that we have a lot to bring to the table. We have a lot of richness on the continent, a lot of heritage and a lot of history. Some of it has been painful, yes, but let's not focus on where the pain come from. But let's instead focus on the value we bring to the table. And instead of always absorbing what is brought to us, be ready to shine and show others the way through all the things that we already hold dear, all the ways that we live, all the things that of value we bring to the table. And it's so much more than we acknowledge and we see. And yes, it's definitely Africa is rising and it is the next frontier. And it is the final frontier.
On that note, Tsitsi Mudende, it's really been a pleasure. Thank you for your time. You've really given us a lot of food for thought on many different things, whether it's the economics in Zim, think about maybe the continent in a broad sense. But I really love how you've wrapped this up. We do talk about a rising Africa, but when we engage with people like yourself, then it suddenly makes sense. So yeah, from all of us in 1,000 African Voices, again, thank you for your time. It's really been an absolute pleasure. Do take care.
Thank you. It's been an honor.
1,000 African Voices.
You've been listening to 1,000 African Voices on Channel Africa. Please join us next time as we bring you yet another voice. You can find us on our Facebook.com page by searching for Channel Africa 1. Our Twitter handle is also at Channel Africa 1. To download this and other episodes, log on to channelafrica.org. And go on to the podcast page. Our sound engineer is Sam Ganich. The theme song for the show is Africa by the legendary Salif Keita. On behalf of the 1000AfricanVoices.com team and Channel Africa, I'm your host, Awurengwi C. Until next time, Kungana Africa, and take care. Memories bring back your do 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 do.